Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Thanks so much for wasting our time.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 5, Pledging My Love. Oh, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hi.
We have an announcement. Dave, why don't you take it away and tell the peoples what is happening?
Okay, so
you remember, guys, I almost drank a bug this morning. I'm a little bit
upset. Having a stroke. Also,
we needed to reduce our output of this podcast from 2 a week to 1 a week, and we didn't want to just do that and leave you sort of, you know, without your second fix of the week. So starting this week, you will have your full episodes on Monday, and then your Thursday episode will be Again With This Mini, which is taking a page from our Extra Hot Great Minis, which is going to be a small weirdo topic. Suggestions are welcome about the show or show adjacent or whatever.
Yeah. Listeners will have noticed, and this was just a coincidence that it happened this week, but that there was an episode in your feed earlier where it was an Extra Hot Great Mini that was 90210 themed, where we were swapping one character from that show with a character from Star Trek, The Next Generation. So it'll be, you know, stuff like that. So we welcome your suggestions. Please tweet them at us at AWT90210 or email them to us at Tara@previously.tv and Sarah with an H at previously.tv or Facebook them to us, but email or Twitter are better.
True.
And we got an email suggestion for an end of episode challenge that was a little bit too chunky for a challenge. So we'll be doing that for this week's mini. Listen out for that on Thursday.
And let us remind you, in case you're fearing that you're going to go into withdrawal, that we are now in the latter seasons of the show. It is very boring, very annoying. And these minis allow us to return to the Halcyon Brenda era.
Yep.
All of us together, if topics allow. So This is actually good because you could take a little break on Thursday from the relentless Donna fluffing of where we are currently in the big podcast with a little palate cleanser that might involve Brenda Wash. So we look forward to going on this journey with you.
And we also remind you that if you're running out of things to listen to in your day-to-day life, please, please go to previously.tv/podcasts to see the whole list of podcasts that we're now offering. Really, we're adding like 2 a week at this point, pretty much. Sarah has just started Go Pirates, the Veronica Mars podcast with past guest of this show and of Extra Hot Great, John Ramos. And then we also have podcasts about The Bachelorette starting this week, Great British Bake Off. Oh my God, what am I forgetting? Married at First Sight, Call the Midwife. Twin Peaks, many, 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 many more. So please go and check those out. There's probably at least one other one you want to subscribe to. Oh, Sarah's other podcast, The Blotter Presents, duh.
Yes, true crime, not against fashion, usually. No. But yes, true crime on TV. So please subscribe to those. Follow us on Twitter. And yes, we can be in your ear holes like 25/8.
Yeah, seriously.
If you want. And why wouldn't you?
I have no idea. And remember, you can buy t-shirts.
All right, let's go. It's 4 minutes in.
Okay. Jeez. are you in a hurry?
Yes.
Do you have an appointment after this?
Yeah.
All right. Bed. Sarah, shall we proceed?
Yes.
All right.
Slowly. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Clone High reference. Now we can go.
Oh, yeah. Starting with our D-plot. David is still a loser. David is a loser, and all the classes he wants are full. Val comes into the admissions office, and even though she is also one of his exes, he manages to speak to her civilly, unlike his every interaction with Donna. he's bitching about the one bad Russian silent cinema class he did get into when the admissions officer overhears and tells him it's been full for months. Ha ha, stuff. Cue cameo. Clip two.
Dick.
What does it take to get a class you want around here? What, do you have to win a gold medal or something?
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah, right? Wait a second. Aren't you Carrie Strug?
I guess so.
You were amazing. Do you have your gold medal on you?
No, I'd like to wear it everywhere, but that would look pretty silly, right?
I don't know. I think if I won a gold medal, I'd be so proud I'd have it bronzed.
You're funny.
You're incredible. I hope I get to have some classes with you.
Me too.
Well, good luck in school.
And they never saw her again.
That was the weirdest fucking thing. Even for that show, that just sounded like a dialogue bot spat it out. Like,
yeah.
Was he seven?
Why
don't you have your gold medal on you? Also, I was strapped on my head.
Yeah.
Shut up, David.
This is like, like she might as well have been all of the Harlem Globetrotters for what a non sequitur this scene was. It's so strange.
I wish she had been.
But again, like, we get it. It's 1996. The Atlanta Olympics were a big deal. Like, let's please stop. And now we can stop because that's that entire storyline. Moving on to our C plot. Kenny continues jerking Val around now in his bachelor pad. So Val and Kenny drive back from an alleged investors meeting past a milkman. Did you see this in the B-roll?
He's no, like, I didn't. Oh, amazing.
It's in the visual aids. There's a milkman delivering milk in glass bottles in 1996. If you lived in Los Angeles at this time, specifically in Brentwood, where they supposedly are, please tell us if that was a thing that happened, because it seems so weird and unlikely, but also like it's so in passing that I don't think they would just get this guy to do it unless this is extremely old B-roll, which is possible.
I mean, I could see like in a show set in Brooklyn now. This mm-hmm. happening, but
yeah.
1996 in LA, that seems weird. Anyway.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my grandma still got milk delivered, but it was like in cartons. Like it wasn't any different milk than you would get at the store. But anyway, not in 1996. Val jokes about letting investors perv on her and her short skirt, which you will see in the visual aids, is real short. It's like if she sat down, they saw everything. It's so short.
Like the skirt on my old lady bathing suit is longer than that. It's short.
And instead of telling her that she wowed them with her talent as a business person, Kenny says it's about maximizing her assets. Barf. She wants to celebrate, but he thinks it's premature, and they end up on a side street she doesn't recognize. She thinks he wants to fuck her in the car, but he has a surprise. Turns out he's brought her to an apartment that she can live in or where they can meet. Hint. The lease is in her name with an option to buy, and she flirtily asks if this makes her a kept woman, but he just wants to make her happy. She's impressed. He also says the kitchen is stocked. Like, I'm so sure he went to the trouble of buying fucking groceries. So,
hang on a sec. A screw pad and a stock kitchen? Wow.
Yeah.
Stud mania out of control.
Oh, gross. Probably raisins in there. Asshole.
But like, is he sending his assistant to be like, go get my mistress groceries? Because I just don't
That's
see
not
him
that
doing
much
it.
Cheese.
And he excused.
What else is what else we got here?
Clams.
Oh, that shit ain't right.
Oh, Dave. This is Dave on No Sleep, you guys.
Don't forget to refrigerate the dairy products or you will spoil eat.
You will spoil eat.
Thank you.
No
Making
sleep.
Our own fun.
Oh, my God. Really? Like not even an hour?
Not even an hour.
Oh, Dave. 6:31 a.m. as we're recording this, you guys.
So much for wanting to hurry things along.
Everyone's listening like, what are these minis going to be? Because no. Anyway, back to the scene. Hoping to make them dinner tonight, Kenny says, I'm so sure he's going to do that. And then he goes into the bedroom with champagne. But things are not so happy. The next time we visit the Love Nest is Val fidgets in a killer halter dress and sees by the fucking hideous clock that is among this place's furnished accoutrement that Kenny is very late for their dinner / fucking. And she calls his office, no answer, onto his car phone because it's the 90s. But oh no, he's in the car with Diane and their dumb wiener kid. Let's hear that in clip number 3.
Where the hell are you?
Mom, I forgot to call you. I'm sorry. We just took Michael out for some ice cream after his soccer game.
Oh, the All-American Family, huh? Well, let me speak to Diane. Maybe she'd like to hear what a bastard you are.
I'm really sorry. I totally forgot that Michael's game was rescheduled. But he did great. You know, the game was tied and he scored twice.
Oh, well, that's more than I can say for you. Thanks a lot for the romantic celebration.
That she had hung up in the middle of him talking about his kid, because that's what I'd have done. I'm evil.
Yeah. Well, also, who cares? Like, I know he's just covering, but still. And the nervous faces he makes, like, your wife is right there. Just because it's dark and she's in your periphery doesn't mean you're not totally transparent, because you are. And then Kenny shows up at the Walsh house like a dumb asshole. And after some small talk at the door with Brandon, who vaguely remembers him as a former colleague of Jim's, Kenny embarrasses himself in clip 4.
Is Valerie here?
Yeah, she's upstairs.
Oh, yeah, she's my client.
Right. I didn't know accountants made house calls.
Oh, well, I forgot to get her signature on some paperwork. You know, it's in the car. Paperwork all the time. Yeah. Right.
I'll get it for you.
Rare moment when Brandon is intentionally funny, where he just like he holds that pause for so long and is like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a pretty good performance. I mean, it's like ridiculous that he would be like that, a shade ball this shady would not also be more ballsy. Like, he just sucks at this.
Yeah.
But the performance is hilarious. He's like, paperwork all the time.
Yep.
I don't know. Like, it's so stupid, but it's enjoyable because, you know, we have to cling to something.
We do. So the worst part of all this is that it makes Brandon think he's got something on Val as he literally kicks his way into her room. And if you don't believe me, I made a GIF. She says she's not coming down, and Brandon asks what he should tell Kenny. Val doesn't care. And then she's like, tell him I went for frozen yogurt. He'll get the picture. We're like, what? Is that some kind of code that I'm not aware of?
I think it was supposed to be a callback to the ice cream, but like, hey.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Brandon naturally feels entitled to involve himself in clip 5.
Clip 5.
Is there something going on here that I don't know about that I probably should know about?
No, it's nothing. It's just a little business reversal.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up, dick. Yeah. You had us for a second.
It was so short.
And you lost us.
Yeah, you pissed it away. Kenny is mopily working in his office when Val shows up with her twin set cardigan demurely draped over her shoulders like a Hitchcock heroine for some fucking reason. You can see that in the visual aids too. But never mind, she is pissed. Kenny tries to fob her off by telling her to make an appointment. She says she had one and then slams the door, which is when she finds out she means she had an appointment with him last night. And did I mention that she's pissed, or is she? Clip 6.
What the hell were you thinking, Valerie?
You owe me for last night. And I'm here to collect.
I went to your house last night to apologize to you, but you wouldn't see me.
I decide when you get to apologize. And I've decided it's right now.
Valerie, please.
Do you want me?
Do I want you?
Do you?
You know I want you.
This is worse than jazz. Settle down, Clarinet. We get it.
I think that might be a soprano saxophone. So it could be Kenny
whatever
G.
it is, it needs to fuck off.
Yes, it does. Moving on, speaking of fucking off, sorry, Jimmy, to our B plot. Kelly and Jimmy do budget birthright. So Kelly is back at Friendship House, where Jimmy is not dead yet. In fact, to Kelly's question, he says he's feeling all right. Why? Clip 7.
Because Saturday was Jewish New Year, right?
Okay. Just because the only Jews who've ever been on the show to this point are Andrea and self-hating assimilationist Leslie Sumner, I refuse to believe that a girl who grew up in Beverly Hills and surely went to many bat mitzvahs doesn't know Rosh Hashanah.
Seriously.
But anyway.
To pronounce it Rosh Hashanah. But whatever. Who cares?
Anyway.
I just want Jimmy to die so that this poor, nice man can get off the show. That's all I want.
Well, spoiler alert, you're in luck. Jimmy guesses he forgot. And Joke asks if his rabbi called Kelly, but she says her stepbrother is Jewish, and there are services all week long at the Hillel Center if he wants to go. He doesn't, saying he's avoided practicing his faith since his bar mitzvah, but he wants to know if she's worried about his spiritual life because he's dying, and she tells him to forget it. But then he says he will go as long as she doesn't try to pronounce, do you want to say it so I don't say it wrong again?
Oh, I wasn't correcting you.
Oh, okay.
I was just saying that she would know how to pray, whatever. It's Rosh Hashanah.
Okay. And then they also establish
I'm a Baptist. Don't email me.
Yes, but your sister-in-law is Jewish, right?
That's true. And I'm from New Jersey, so which is like Los Angeles.
True again.
Fruit drives everywhere.
Then they also establish there's a trick that she wants him to teach her, but he won't as long as there's breath in his skinny body. So I guess when he changes his mind, we'll know he's definitely really almost a goner for real. She guesses he taught the trick to Gordon, but he says actually Gordon taught it to him. And there's more. Clip 8.
He had so many friends around, especially when he was sick. Kind of cut myself off from everyone after he died.
I was wondering about that.
You mean why I don't have any friends? I just never wanted anyone to see me the way they saw Gordon.
Okay, I guess I get that.
Well, at least they explained it, but
yeah, it is true because it is weird otherwise. But anyway, then David and Jimmy are leaving services with Kelly, giving her Jewish lessons and telling her about Yom Kippur. And I'll assume you're all worldly persons and know about it already. And of course, it comes back around to the Book of Life and who's going to live and who's going to die. In case you forgot, Jimmy's going to die. And then Kelly brings a bag of groceries into Friendship House and asks for Jimmy, and no one will tell her where he is, and you can tell something bad must have happened because even Hal is somewhat nice, as he says she should go see Linda, who I guess is in charge, and boy, should she be proud of the tight ship she's running. But anyway, Linda is glad she's there. Jimmy's been asking for her. He has pneumocystitis, and Linda doesn't think he's going to last the day. Kelly tears up but manages to collect herself somewhat before going in to see Jimmy in clip 9.
I guess some goof wrote my name in the Book of Life in disappearing ink. Easy come, easy go. I hope.
Oh, he's trying. He's really trying.
He is. In case you're not familiar with the terminology, pneumocystitis means that he is coated in gray makeup.
Oh my God. Yes. Please go to the visual aids to see how unbelievably bad it is. It's like as if he was on Face Off for like a cement character challenge or something. So gray. Anyway,
oh, that was a nice piece of business. Well done.
She says she'll sit with him, and he tells her to get the cards out of his drawer. He starts to teach her the trick, but she tells him not to in clip 10.
It's really simple.
Please don't.
I thought you wanted to know the trick. Last chance.
I can't believe this is happening.
What's happening to me has already happened. A long time ago.
Why does it have to be now?
What difference does it make?
I don't know. You have a date with David for Yom Kippur services. They're serving smokies and sauerkraut tomorrow. I don't know.
Kelly, can I tell you something? You made me so happy. You're my first real friend since Gordon died.
It's a reason to live.
Actually, it's a reason to die. No, I don't have to be alone. I'm sorry.
What about me?
It's the easy part. You're supposed to live. Fall in love. Make babies. Gordon taught me something else. You want to know what it was? To never hide your heart. That's the real trick.
I think I'm ready to learn it now.
It's a good thing you're a quick study.
You know what I discovered? You can have an emotional scene and use the word Smokies.
Or sauerkraut. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's tough.
I forgot to say the trick is something about hiding your heart, but it's dumb. Speaking of dumb.
Jenny Garth does a nice job here. She's obviously, like, it's not vain at all. Like, tears are running off the bottom of her chin kind of thing. Like, this was, you know, she clearly went there. I don't know. Like, the storyline is dumb, but they're both pretty good in it.
Yeah.
I'm just glad it's over, because it's just so, like, I don't know. And then, of course, she's like, well, what about me? Like, can you just let the man die? Mm-hmm. Go hang out with Hal. He's got some shit to say.
Yeah. Sadly, that's the end of Hal, I believe. And on the deck, Kelly cries and looks at her. We can pretend.
Wait, hang on.
What?
And we never saw him again.
No, we didn't. But no, we can pretend that Hal lives on, and I choose to.
That great big Smokey in the sky.
Hal is somewhere living it up.
Only you could. Would he die of?
Pneumocystitis.
Only you can prevent pneumocystitis. Smokey. Smokey the bear.
Oh, I get it. Oh, God. Thank you for that. On the deck.
This long.
Kelly cries and looks at her photo of Jimmy. David shows up to offer his sister his most sensitive condolences. David T. Cole in clip 11.
Sorry.
It's no sorry.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
It is not.
No.
He brought her a candle that in the Jewish tradition you're supposed to light for the dead, and she's sad but also angry. Angry about a disease that even in our day doesn't get the research resources it requires, and prior to this was ignored for years by an addled homophobic president killing millions as a result? No! Clip 12.
I'm mad at him for leaving me. How sick is that? He said he could die now because I was his friend. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem fair, you know?
You gave him a lot. You know that, right?
Yeah. I guess I have to forgive him. He said that's how it works, right?
Okay.
Also, her weird accenting is back. At the beginning of that clip, it sounds so strange.
I don't understand what she's going for there.
Anyway, David confirms that's what it says in the Book of Life, and Kelly lights a candle, and Dave gives her a prayer book to read from. The end.
Thank God.
Moving on to our A-plot, Greek bullshit. So after her triumph last week, Tracy is in fact the new campus news anchor, but now she's bitching to Brandon that nothing interesting is going on and wishes there were a campus riot. Like, slow down, Edward R. Murrow. She then asks how they're supposed to get ratings, and Brandon has to remind her they're on cable access. And the more screen time she gets, the more I feel like maybe she is the right eventual romantic partner for stupid Brandon. Anyway, they set up for the chancellor's speech to start the festivities for Spirit Day, the apparent real name of the day, not just a placeholder that someone forgot to replace. Well, backstage, Steve and a few of his keg brothers strip down and shake up cans of shaving cream. Back out front, Claire Crabbs, she's been hearing this speech since she was 10 and hates all this Greek baloney. Well, behind the scenes, her Greek baloney has given himself elf hair and a beard out of shaving cream. And I'm sorry, it's actually kind of cute. He's even put some on his eyebrows.
I love that. Like, oh, that's a completist. That's
you can see it. You can see it in the visual aids. All the other guys, however, are just like have shaving cream just caked onto their faces. Like, you already weren't going to pay them. They're under fives, if that. Like, but they all look like shaving cream trolls. But anyway, as the chancellor is getting up to the gates of Hades or something in his speech, out come the keg guys, streaking in what I think we're supposed to believe are just shaving cream loincloths, but which are clearly large adult diapers with the shaving cream caked on them. You can see this in the visual aids too, because it's fucking bizarre.
I mean, and huge ones. It's paper mache.
Yes. It's like they're running with like pelvic casts on or something. Like that's how big they are. But anyway, when they get to the grass, the sprinklers come on and we're given to understand this washes off all the shaving cream that is not covering up the adult diapers, but whatever. In the good old student union, Kelly and Donna discuss new Alpha Omega recruits. Apparently Donna, who hasn't done a sorority thing since circa the first year of Ray, is Rush chairman and says all the would-be pledges suck. And then a mousy girl in a CU t-shirt comes over to clear their table, and Kelly recognizes her from the front page of The Condor. She's a basketball star named Danny St. John, and after Kelly leaves, Donna asks if Danny's in a sorority and invites her to come and meet the pledge committee at Alpha Omega. Danny says she didn't think Alpha Omega rushed jocks, and Donna says there's a first time for everything, so translation, they don't. At the TV station, Tracy and Brandon show Mark the streaker tape. Now, remember this for later. Mark calls it play of the day material, but Brandon thinks it's frivolous for a second and then decides it's exciting. So then Danny is telling the pledge committee, oh my God, her outfit. So she has a high ponytail and like a t-shirt and a vest and high-waisted jeans. Like she looks like someone's weird aunt. Such a bad outfit for this occasion. But whatever. She tells the pledge committee, go ahead.
It's just like, well, first of all, she desperately needs a hot oil.
Oh yeah.
Second of all, it's very like, it's like what Kimmy Schmidt would have worn like the day after she was rescued. It's horrible. Horrible. Even for the era. Oof.
Yeah. If you've ever seen the Mom Jeans commercial parody from SNL, she is that head to toe.
It's only missing the like crochet square cardi.
Yes. Yeah.
Everything else is present.
She tells the pledge committee that she's working because she transferred too late to get an athletic scholarship, and she can tell the other bitches on the committee aren't feeling her, so she says she has to get back to work, and lead bitch gives her this massive eye roll. And we're supposed to think it's because Danny is a jock and not because she's as breathy and wiggly as a Chinatown Laura Palmer. But anyway, Donna follows her out, telling her she did great. Danny doesn't agree, and back in the meeting room, bitchy sister is bitchy, telling Donna she wasted their time in clip 13.
Like, it's a big shock that she's not going to be an alpha. The girl can't even decide if she's a jock or a nerd. I think she'd be a great addition. Personally, Donna, I don't care for the athletic type sharing my bathroom, if you know what I mean.
No, what is that supposed to mean?
Come on, Donna. No clothes, no style, bad hair, and no personality. She's a total package.
Ellen, you didn't even give her a chance. You know, not everyone in the sorority has to look just like you. We're supposed to be friends, not clones. Mm.
True. But then again, not everybody has to be an alpha. I vote a big no way.
Look, just let her have a second interview. If you blackcard her now, she's done.
Okay. I'll wait till next time to dump your charity case.
All right. Give me a break.
Seriously. And also, why do we have to care about this?
I don't know, especially given how it ends. Like, it's so much more of a waste of time. Like, this episode and the next one especially are so full of filler. It's really unbelievable.
It's insane. And, like, also, head bitch, like, I sort of feel you, but decide what your objection is. You're afraid that she's going to get her lesbionics all over you at the makeup mirror? Or she's a frump with no style and personality.
Right.
Like, I don't know. They had an opportunity to sort of like deal with an issue and punted it, which is probably better. But then it was in favor of so much annoying Donna hair and stuff.
Oh,
and
God.
St. Donna saves yet another underprivileged mom jeans wearer. I don't even know.
Yeah. She's going to go to her house and find her absentee mother and tell her some shit. South Central.
Oh,
just
Jesus.
Kidding.
Sorry, or save her from a brush fire, but we'll get to that next time.
Unfortunately. So Claire is in the chancellor's office with him as he furiously watches the campus news like he's Trump at 6:30 or something. But apparently Brandon, the news director, signed off on the broadcast showing the streaking tape twice in one broadcast. Speaking of filler. And as it ends, the phone rings. It's a certain Dean Shaw. Neither of them knew the station was going to show the tape or even that it existed, and they're both outraged. And then there's a knock on the door. It's Steve, and Claire totally ices him because she could tell he was one of the streakers because she recognized his peen, which is kind of a funny detail. And when she confronts him about humiliating her dad, and by the way, still showing up to let him buy him dinner, which I also thought was kind of funny.
That's gangster.
And very Steve-like. Claire herself. Steve denies it to her face, but Claire knows better. And hilariously, her main objective seems to be that streaking is old-fashioned, which it is. But you know who's offended for real? Those fucking all-powerful campus feminists. Clip 14.
What were those idiots thinking of? Hello, Steve.
Yeah, I know it was a disgrace, but oh gosh, you gotta admit it was pretty funny.
I don't think so, nor does Dean Shaw, a woman whose career has been built on political correctness. She wants the entire intrafraternity council charged with sexual harassment.
Oh, come on, it was a harmless prank.
Steve, everybody doesn't think so. Maybe we could have contained this thing, but since it's been broadcast, it's not gonna go away.
It's not?
No. Fortunately, we have the culprits dead to rights on videotape.
You do?
Oh, yes. Thanks to my good friend Brandon Wall, someone is going to pay very dearly for this little escapade.
Stuff.
Also, Brandon was the one who showed the tape. Like, what makes you think? I mean, whatever. This is all so fucking idiotic. I can't believe we have to talk about it, but we do.
Yeah.
Later, Donna and Kelly discuss Danny's bad interview. Kelly basically says she's too punk rock for Alpha House, but Donna doesn't want to quit without trying to change some things. Why? And after Claire blows off a phone call from Steve, Brandon lectures him about doing something stupid by listing all the other stupid things he's done, which we have most definitely already covered. You know what they are. But Brandon will do what he can to keep the tape out of the chancellor's hands, he says. And then we're in the gym while a girl who's obviously Danny plays 1-on-0. And Donna's hair, you guys. You know from the visual aids, she has a pretty short bob. But somehow that has not stopped her from pulling back the front bits of it and putting them in two pigtails. A la Joe Polnicek, except not pulled back into a third ponytail, just like sticking out the sides of her head like she's a stunted Cocker Spaniel. It's so bad. See in the visual aids, of course. But I feel like this is the point where Danny should be like, oh, I don't have to listen to anything you say. You don't even have your own life together, judging by your head.
And also that the little ponytail holders are coordinated lime green with the rest of your disgusting outfit.
Yes.
Hateful.
So she's there to apologize for the bad interview. Danny says she guesses it was pretty funny, but Donna says it wasn't funny to her. And there's another interview, so there's another chance for Danny to pull it off. And Danny gives us her life story and how she's never been good at doing girly shit. We could tell. So she's ready to give up on her sorority dreams and resign herself to not being a babe. And Donna essentially says, if Danny submits to a makeover, she'll get in, which, first of all, not sure Donna is qualified to give anyone a makeover, judging by what we're seeing.
And what we see when the makeover starts, which is Donna almost like automatically lizard braining
yep.
her Danny's hair into the same style, and Danny looking at Kelly like, please fucking help me.
Right. That's A. B, the message about sororities, therefore, is what? Like, what is Donna trying to change if she's just going to give her, like, another fembot makeover? What is the point of what she's doing? Anyway, then Donna shoots, and one cut later, she's sinking a basket. What do you know? Editing, you be the judge. At the TV station, the chancellor pressures Brandon for the tape, and Brandon is a bitch about it in clip 15.
Would you like my resignation, sir?
I told you earlier, I want the tape.
So do a lot of people. I've already had 3 calls from hard copy.
Brandon, I guess I just don't find all this quite as amusing as you do.
With all due respect, sir, maybe you should. The guys were just exhibiting school spirit.
We both know that if that's all they exhibited, we wouldn't be here now.
It's hard to overstate how rude and inappropriate Brandon is being to the chancellor of a university.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's a university you don't go to,
yeah.
you don't get up behind the news desk on the dais lean down and bray in his face about your resignation.
Yeah. Unbelievable. He's such an asshole.
He is such an asshole.
So Mark comes in at this point to placate the chancellor, but after he leaves, Brandon stands firm and Mark intimates that he could fire Brandon over his intransigence on this. Like, fucking do it. Someone should. Spoiler alert, he does not. At lunch, Steve has just finished bragging to his bros that Brandon's going to handle the tape thing for them when Brandon himself rolls up and admits that he might not be able to, and things get heated in clip 16.
So I take the fall and you walk, huh?
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, come on, Brandon. This is just as much your fault as it is mine. More.
And that would be because...
I didn't tape it. I didn't show it.
It's a weak argument, Steve.
So?
So, I did what I could. I think you might have to clean up this mess on your own. I'm sorry.
Both of them are shitheads in this episode, or in this scene and in this episode, but like Steve acting like it's Brandon's fault that Steve might get in trouble for streaking is kind of ridiculous.
That's asinine. Although, never mind the fact that Brandon already did try to get him out of it by claiming a First Amendment desire to keep the tape out of the Chancellor's hands. Like, first of all, if the tape already aired, presumably Dean Shaw, the humorless feminazi, recorded it. So the evidence will remain.
Right.
Second of all, and like, there was a scene before this which was so infuriating that we didn't clip it, that Mark is just like, so it's only First Amendment integrity when it's your friends. And Brandon's like, duh, because of course, that's exactly correct. And he has nothing to say.
Because he's the worst at journalism. Like, if he is a journalism
student. Yeah, so he's like
only
turning Steve down for help because he already tried and failed to throw his tiny little weight around. Fuck off.
Yes. So then it's time for the makeover. As we said, now Kelly is involved too, and an idiotic, supposedly feminist argument ensues about whether it's a betrayal of one's values to give in to Western beauty standards, except none of those words is involved, and it's not worth even describing except for what Donna does to Danny's hair, which we've already said, and yes, there's a gif in the visual aids. Claire shows up at the Peach Pit to meet Steve, very cold and impervious to his attempts to flirt at her. He is trying to apologize, but she wants him to apologize to her dad and says that the Chancellor will have the tape by the next day. And Steve gets hysterical about this being the end of the Greek system, but if that happens, Claire doesn't care, and neither do I. At the station, Tracy kisses up to Brandon by saying she admired what he said to Mark, but adds, while sitting on his desk so we can all ogle her legs, that protecting a friend is a bad reason to invoke First Amendment privilege. True. But she also doesn't think they should give the Chancellor the tape and offers to help. Brandon? Clip 17.
You could file the tape with the Whitewater papers.
Drink.
Topical. She has a magnet that could damage the tape, she says, but Brandon thinks they're in enough trouble already, and he's sad, but also doesn't really care. And then Steve shows up in his contritest, off-bone button-down, black jeans, and westerny belt to apologize to the Chancellor. But the Chancellor's assistant, who amazingly is the same one who didn't care about Brandon's travel agents circa Task Force times, says that Steve will have to wait because the Chancellor is punishing someone else. And in his office, the Chancellor is on the phone with Dean Shaw as Brandon and Mark fume. It's that damn feminist Dean again. Clip 18.
Dean Shaw, all I meant was that I think that expulsion is a little extreme. Actually, I don't. I don't agree that reflects a total lack of empathy for the victims of male oppression at all. I have the tape in my office now. I haven't viewed it yet because I am still talking to you on the telephone, am I not?
Stupid women. They're stupid concerns.
I mean, look, I went to a university whose nude Olympics were extremely controversial and were basically banned right around this time. So I've heard all the sides of this argument, and I'm a little sad that Chancellor Arnold, who is a character I've always sort of liked, even though he's always in these dumb plot backwaters, had to sort of have this unseemly glee about besting the feminazi prof with no sense of humor. Like, really? Does everyone have to be Brandon in this universe?
Anyway, Then the moment of truth, Brandon scowls at the camera, but it's all snow and he tries fast forwarding and rewinding, but there's nothing there. And the chancellor's like, well, the chain of evidence is contaminated, so there's no case. He's back to his chipper old self. Literally, that's all it takes. Problem solved. Like, as Sarah said, which hadn't occurred to me, but you're so right. Like, someone recorded this when it aired. Whatever.
Yeah.
1 inch outside the door, Mark and Brandon start yelling at each other in clip 19.
You set me up.
I didn't set you up, man.
Brandon!
Steve, hang on a second.
Were you left me sitting in there just sweating?
What do you want from me? What am I supposed to do about it?
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Brandon, you're off the hook. I'm gonna come clean.
Go home, Steve.
No, no, I have to bear my soul. I have to, Bran.
No, you don't. Trust me.
It's an honesty thing, man. Honesty's the best policy. You said so. You told me that once.
Steve, I think now is, discretion is the better part of valor type moment. You know what I'm saying?
Steve? I understand you have some kind of confession?
Yeah. I wanted to confess that I forgot to invite you to the barbecue at the cake house tomorrow night. You think you can make it?
I'd be delighted. I hear you have a fine group of pledges.
I'll buy you a beer. I'll tell you all about it.
Stuff. It's time to vote again on Dani, and everyone is mind blown by her new look, and Dani is so unbutchified that she asks to be called Danielle instead of Dani. And I totally missed this, but Sarah caught it for the visual aids. That the sister who's sitting beside Ellen, the main bitch, is totally looking at Dani like she wants to eat her up.
She, yeah. Uh-huh.
I believe your file name is Sister Wants a Danwich. So yeah. True.
She does.
She totally does.
I should probably have gifted because she was just like, I mean, she stopped just short of making like the hubba motion.
Yes.
With her
Ooga.
Lips. But I was like, oh.
I still can. I can give it. I'll try and remember.
I'm not sure Danny's the one you should be worrying about sharing a bathroom with there, Ellen.
Anyway, Ellen, the bitchy sister, invites Dani to pledge and says there's a lesson for all of them. And there is in clip 20.
I should say that there's a lesson here for all of us.
I certainly hope so.
If Danielle had shown this much poise the first time, we wouldn't have needed a re-interview.
But as she is, any sorority would be proud to have her.
That's just what they said at Zeta Chi. I just left there.
So, what are you gonna do?
I've already accepted their bid.
You did what?
Good for you. I'm sorry, Donna.
No. I think we're the ones that should be sorry.
Whatever. I just want y'all to know that you were my first choice. Thank you, anyway.
Well, I guess I'll be going now, too.
Donna, what are you doing? We still need pledges.
What you need is a new rush chairman.
What?
Maybe she'll be able to convince you to start looking at people for who they really are.
Shut up, Donna.
Shut up, sororities. All of this is stupid.
Seriously.
Like, every time they have an episode about the Greek system, like, it's never about, you know, the actual fellowship that I'm sure people do experience. I wasn't in a sorority. But it's always about stupid bullshit shenanigans that are exclusive or racist. Like, I mean, not racist, I guess, explicitly, but like, whatever, elitist. It's always nonsense like this.
Yeah. Or homophobic or yeah. Lesbophobic mm-hmm. or racist or rapey or whatever it is. Like,
yep.
I wasn't in the Greek system either, because after 12 years of girls' school, I was kind of all full up on uh-huh. sisterly fellowship for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's actually not all bad. But if you're just going to show it like this, and mm-hmm. only every 2 years when you've run out of other ideas,
yeah.
don't bother.
Yeah.
Don't help.
I mean, I'm sure there was a conversation where it's like, oh, I guess we better do this because they're all seniors. Like, this is going to be one of our last chances. We shouldn't miss it. Like,
yeah, totally. That's totally it.
Maybe you should. Anyway, let's wrap this shit up. So in the good old student union, everyone celebrates by being stupid and or unprofessional in clip 21.
Blank! Blank! I can't believe the videotape was blank!
As blank as the vast space in between your ears, my friend.
I still don't get what happened.
Well, it turned out to be more suitable for unsolved mysteries than hard copy.
Well, from what I saw, I don't know if it would exactly qualify for hard copy, but...
The only reason this is...
Blair Arnold, folks.
Making the whole storyline worth having almost. Anyway, Steve was like, the water was cold. Anyway, turns out Tracy did magnetize the tape because she likes Steve and Brandon, and her mother always told her to be nice to the people she likes. Dumb flirting and kissing ensues. In a conversation in which sexual harassment rules are, again, treated like a joke, and Tracy doesn't care if she gets fired, since that will mean she gets to date Brandon, and it is all stupid. The end! On to our MVP. Dean Shaw sticking up for victims of male oppression.
Good job, girl. I'm sorry, woman with a Y.
Least valuable player. I mean, literally in the sense of player, Carrie Strug, not even convincing playing herself.
Gosh, there's a, you know, really a buffet. I'm going to go with Brandon. Once again, his journalisming is terrible.
True. Well, conveniently, let's do a user submitted challenge. This is the Lynn Warner challenge. 5 ways Brandon is seldom right and wrong again. Sarah, go ahead.
The First Amendment is not about protecting your friends from prosecution by university authorities for indecent exposure.
Showing the same clip twice in one broadcast makes you a bad news director making wrong decisions in that respect.
Not looping your superior in also makes you a bad news director, Dick.
You're a bad student to bray in the face of the chancellor of the university that you attend.
And Valerie's love life is, yes, ill-advised, but still none of your fucking business. Shoot yourself into the sun.
Right on. That makes 5.
Next time again on Again With This, yet another fire imperils yet another ill-advised party on Beverly Hills 90210 as the show contrives a Steve-Claire breakup. Brandon screams in Kelly's face, and for once, she's in the right to be a bitch about it. And David learns a very important lesson about tequila. Meanwhile, my ghost is telling you all of this because the St. Donna Saves a Fawn thing is so worst, I shot myself into the sun. Avenge me by checking out our visual aids for this and every other Again With This episode on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previously.tv, and you can follow this podcast at AWT90210. I'm ill-timed sprinkler Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. I'm here with my co-host, call from hard copy, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Integrity Crap, David T. Cole. He's on Twitter at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Hi. You know what to do after the beeparoni.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.